You think I need to explain the photo? Yes? Should I explain that? Yeah, okay, yeah, I suppose that deserves an explanation. I look kind of cute, don't I? Somebody said purple looks good on me. I don't know about that. At least you can't see the bracelet. Thank God for that. My sleeve of my jacket covered that. Hey, everybody, this is Martin Zender. I hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. I was decorated over Thanksgiving by 9-year-old Ariana Hill. She decided that since Christmas wasn't here yet and the tree wasn't up and she didn't have a tree to decorate, that she would decorate Martin Zender. So she started putting stuff on me, and the hairband came first, and then next came the necklace. Do I have a necklace on? Yeah, and then the glasses, and then I got a bracelet, and the earrings. Yes, I have the earrings, and I drew the line at the lipstick. No lipstick, I said. So that was out, but I did get a pink purse, which is not in the photograph. Sorry about that. So we all had a howl over it. Quite funny. So I thought I'd put it there on the front page just for your elucidation or trepidation or something that ends in I-O-N. Oh, and I do have to tell you this. I know the noise that the snatching away is going to make. I don't know how, I just know this, divine revelation, okay? When we're all snatched away, each of us is going to make an individual noise, and this is it. Are you ready? You've never heard this before, because this is new. I've talked to the people around here about it, but I've never released this information publicly. But here's the noise that you will make, or that the transaction itself will make at the snatching away. Did you get that? Each individual... And imagine that, everybody at once. It's going to be a cacophony of wonderment and squeaks. It's going to be something to look forward to. One more time, in case you didn't get it. All right, that's what it's going to sound like. All right, now we get down to serious business. Not that we haven't been speaking seriously, but I want to clean up a loose end with our friend Noah. I told you that Noah condemned the world, says there. By faith Noah, being apprised concerning that which is not as yet being observed, being pious, constructs an ark for the salvation of his house, through which he condemns the world. I said Noah was not standing there screaming at the world like a Pentecostal preacher. Instead, this is from A.E. Knox commentary. It was a continual reminder. This was the ark. Let's start here. The building of the ark, from A.E. Knox here, must have been a tremendous task to undertake in the face of the derision and opposition of the whole world. It was a continual reminder of the threatened doom and condemned them by its very presence. And that's awesome. Just when you saw that ark, the very presence of the ark condemned them, that something was going to happen. And it was so evident, it was so obvious that something was afoot. Well, I take that back, because maybe it wasn't obvious what was afoot, but the fact that something was afoot. And I put Paul's gospel in the same category. It's evident. It's so here. It so declares the grace of God. And Paul declares that this message is our escape from the coming indignation. And I'm always comparing Paul's gospel to a modern-day ark. You get in this boat to be saved. I'm not promoting works. I'm just saying that Paul himself sets forth his gospel as our rescue out of the coming indignation. He puts forth Christ as our rescuer out of the coming indignation. People say, Martin, you sound like Christianity here. Believe or go to hell for eternity. Just a couple major differences there. One, we're not threatening anybody to go to hell for eternity, but there is a time period coming up called the Day of Indignation. And it is going to be a time the world has never seen the likes of it. And so Paul's gospel is one of grace and peace, and you believe it by the grace of God, and you're delivered out of the coming indignation. You're not appointed to indignation. That's the good news. All right, one more thing about Noah here. It says that he's pious. I want to look at this word. Before we go to Abraham, he's the next hero of faith offered up here. Noah says, being pious, constructs an ark for the salvation of his house. Being pious. Now, what do you think of when you hear this word, pious? Yeah, he was somehow all holy, and he walked around with look on his face that told you he was great and you were nothing. And he had his nose a little bit up in the air, and he watched where he walked, never did anything wrong. This is, I don't like this word. I think it's a bad translation. I looked this word up in the Greek, and it's a Greek word, euloboime. Euloboime. Two-part Greek word, eu means well, and aboime is get, well get. Now I say, what does that mean? It's a two-part Greek word. Those are the English equivalents, well and get. It means to get it well, to get well. He understood. He got it. He well got it. A pious person, well, let me explain. I want to explain it. Hang on to that. I'm going to explain it by going into another word that we often misapprehend. That's the word obey. When you hear the word obey, you just think, I'm going to do whatever you say, no matter what. You give me an order, I'll do it. But the Greek word there is hupako. And that it's the English equivalent under here. Hupo is under and pako is here. Under here. It means to hear and to heed. So to obey is not blind obedience. It just means you hear it and you heed it. You obey it. It's not blind obedience. It's hearing and heeding. So but when we think obey, we think of just mindless adherence to somebody's order. Now, I'm saying the same thing is applying to this word pious. I think it's a bad translation. Because the Greek element, again, is well get it well, to understand it. It's almost the thought of to understand it. So Noah was pious. Being pious, he constructs an ark. Why would you describe a guy as pious and then as an example of being pious, say he constructs an ark? That doesn't make sense. Because being holy in our present understanding of it, or having your nose in the air, that doesn't mean you construct an ark. But if you get something, if you get it well, if you have a grasp, let's put it that way, an intelligent grasp, then you're understanding what God is doing, and then you would build an ark. Let's look at a couple other places where this word occurs, because this is important in this context, because everybody in this context, they're coming to understand a declaration of God. And they're believing God, and that they're pious. We think of pious and we think of you do everything right. You're a holy person. No, you're pious if you understand what God is doing. And you're obedient if you hear what God is doing and heed what God is doing. These are not, we have so discolored these words because of our religious upbringing. Pious and obedient. It's not at all what was meant by the writers who wrote these words. That's why I don't like the translation. I think for obey, they just should have put hear and heed, to hear and to heed. Why not put the literal elements in the context itself? And for pious, I have a suggestion also. But let's go to a couple more places where that word's used, where the word pious appears. One of them is in Luke 2:25. In Luke 2:25 says, lo, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name is Simeon, and this man is just and pious, anticipating the consolation of Israel, and Holy Spirit was on him. And he was apprised by the Holy Spirit that he would not be acquainted with death ere he should be acquainted with the Lord's Christ. So this guy, remember along with Anna, they were prophets and they were in the temple and they were there and they saw the Lord Jesus Christ when he came on the eighth day to be circumcised. So he was pious, anticipating. So this pious man was anticipating something because he was, verse 26, apprised by the Holy Spirit that he would not be acquainted with death. That made him pious because he was told something. He was apprised of it. He got it. He got it well. Well get up to be pious. And because of that, he was anticipating the consolation of Israel, which is a strange way of saying he was waiting for the Messiah to show up in the temple. And here came this baby in the arms of his mother, Mary, and he saw the Messiah because he was pious. Well, if that means he's holy or religious, what does that have to do with anticipating the kingdom? It's being apprised of something and believing it. Being told of something by God and having the faith to know that God was going to carry that thing out. And that's the common denominator in Hebrews. And it's also the common denominator with this word pious. Now, there's another place this word occurs. It's in Acts 22:11. Acts 22:11. Now, Paul is explaining his call to the Jews. in Jerusalem. And he says this, "Now as I observed nothing for the glory of that light, being led by the hand by those who were with me, I came into Damascus. Now a certain Ananias, a pious man according to the law, being attested by all the Jews dwelling there, coming to me and standing by, said to me, 'Saul, brother, receive your sight.' And I, in the same hour, look up to him." Now, if you remember, in another place it says that Ananias was apprised of what was happening by the Lord. The Lord told Ananias in a vision that this man named Saul was going to come into Damascus. So he was pious. That doesn't mean he did everything right and he was a holy man by our standard, modern standard of holiness. It's that he got it well. He was a well-getter. He listened and he heard God's word, and because of that, he had faith. And so he was waiting for Saul. God told him, this man named Saul's going to come. Wait for him. God told Noah, this big storm's going to come. This big rainstorm. Wait for it. God told Ananias, the Messiah's going to come. Wait for him. And these men, all these men were pious in that, I don't even know what that word means in English. I hate, why pious? It's taken on a totally different hue now. I would rather say a well-getter. And he was a well-getter. Or let's just say he got it. He was a guy who got it. That's how I would, there it is. That's how I would translate it. Let's go back and try it. He was a guy who got it. All right, I am now taking a case against the concordant translation here. We have a Greek word, eulabomia, that has been translated pious by a man I respect, A. Enoch. But here, I think we missed the boat. That's a little Noah joke there. Now, I'm going to put my definition in here, a guy who got it. A guy who gets it. A guy who gets it. By faith, Noah, being apprised concerning that which is not as yet being observed, being a guy who gets it, being a guy who got it, constructs an ark for the salvation of his house. I like that. Being a guy who got it. And that corresponds with the meaning. Well get. Let's go back to Luke. This is fun. I like being a translator. Let's go back to Luke 2:25. "And lo, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name is Simeon. And this man is just, and he gets it, anticipating the consolation of Israel." It works. It works for me. All right, Acts 22. "Now as I observed nothing for the glory of that light, being led by the hand by those who are with me, I came into Damascus. Now a certain Ananias, a guy who got it, being attested by all the Jews, came to me." A guy who got it. I like that. We are people who get it. You're not pious. Where did he come up with that? We get it. And Paul here is saying, he's listing people in Hebrews 11 that get it. And so few people get it today. They're not well-getters. They don't get it well. They don't get it at all. So they're not pious, according to the concordant translation. Well, we do get it. And it's not to any of our credit. It's to God. He gave it to us. As I told you yesterday, Jesus said to his disciples, "To you it is given the secrets of the kingdom, yet to those it has not been given." You get it, they don't. You get it because I told you. God has told us that our bodies are going to be changed in a moment. In the moment, in the casting of an eye, our bodies are going to be changed from bodies of humiliation to bodies of glory, and we are going to be taken to heaven, seated at the right hand of God, where we will judge angels. This is just as outrageous information as God told Noah to build an ark in the middle of dry land. This is just as outrageous as a man hearing that he's going to be there on the day the Messiah, who they've been waiting for hundreds of years, was going to enter into Jerusalem. It's just as crazy as a man being told in Damascus that a killer's coming to town, and he's a chosen vessel of mine, and I want you to heal him from his blindness. All these things are crazy. God telling Abraham, leave your homeland, go to where you've never heard of before, and you're going to have a son in your old age. These things are, by human standards, crazy, and yet that's why these people are heroes of faith, because they believe the impossible. And you look at yourself in the mirror and you consider yourself after the flesh, how is God going to do this with my body? Now is your chance to join the Hall of Fame of Faith and believe God. Be a pious one. I want you to hear it, heed it, and get it.